everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/gabpod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode was originally recorded May 4th, 2017. Here's episode 41 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, though, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. It is day 105 of Donald Trump's Universal Championship run. It is also the National Day of Prayer.
This is Chris Kelly.
Oh, yeah, we're doing that? My name is Brandon Weatherby. It doesn't matter. This is God's Day.
Is that the only name that matters?
God?
The G-O-D.
Yeah, G-O-D.
The G-O-D squad.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon's opponent from 2006's Backlash, God.
Yeah, if you rearrange the letters in Vince McMahon, you get Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So while we were blatantly joking around, my name is Brandon Weatherby. His name is Chris Kelly. We were in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, where Donald Trump celebrated the National Day of Prayer, day 105. Vincent Kennedy McMahon and his son Shane McMahon wrestled Shawn Michaels and God at Backlash 2006.
And that, they won.
That they had to go over. That happened.
Yeah, can you believe that Trump's president? Neither can he.
All right, so that little quote is from today. That is clearly the big show of the day.
Well, it's a big show.
Yeah, it was a big day. It's been a big week. I mean, there's some things we're going to get to today that seem like big deals, but as we do this podcast since last summer, things that seem like big deals early in the week, not so by the end of the week. So today we had the House passed by a one vote majority a healthcare bill to repeal or replace Obamacare.
So the AHCA will, in theory, replace the ACA one day. The reality of it is unlikely, but we don't know how that's going to shake out. In 2010, the ACA was passed by one vote. In 2017, the AHCA was passed by one vote. Different sides of the aisle. No matter what, it's still 50-50 booking.
Yes, which is a concept in wrestling where no one really gets over because everyone's got to get their win back, which we'll also get to later in this podcast.
So I know we're going fast and hard. This has been a really weird day. I did not think the AHCA would pass. Did you?
I mean, by the time they said they were going to take a vote, I didn't think they were going to take L that quickly.
Of course.
They knew they were.
At the start of the week, did you think this was going to happen?
No.
At the start of the week, did you think that NWA would be sold to Billy Corgan?
That was not on my list of things for this
week. Okay, so lots of acronyms this week, a whole lot of nothing. I think the sale and purchase of the NWA to Billy Corgan is on par with the sale and purchase of the AHCA to the American public.
It's a acronym that means nothing?
Pretty much. Okay, so do you wanna go over what just happened today in the world of politics, not the world of professional wrestling?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. The AHCA is the second attempt. Is this fair?
Yes.
The second attempt at passing a healthcare reform.
Mm-hmm.
Repeal and replace.
I'm going to keep popping those peas.
Oh, boy, this is bad. So it happened.
Mm-hmm.
The first step of, in theory, five happened. So the first step is passing the House. The second step will now go to the Senate, and the Senate will take a vote on that. They will inevitably amend that. If they pass it, then it will go back to the House, and then back to the Senate, and then it will be signed on the president's desk.
See also, I'm just a bill.
Okay. The likelihood of that happening now is pretty low.
Is it?
Exactly. The likelihood of WrestleMania's 4, 5, 7, 20, 23, and their 29 guests becoming president of the United States is also pretty low.
But here we are.
Here we are. So that could happen. This was the first major step.
Yes.
In that. That's that.
So we'll see. We'll be tracking that, I'm sure, as will most Americans, many of which will be losing their insurance. like independent contractors who work for the WWE who may or may not have insurance.
Two of the independent contractors that probably don't have WWE insurance are Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, and they recently participated in the first ever, maybe annual,
last ever
House of Horrors match on the most recent pay-per-view. This is a quote from Nancy Pelosi from today. I'm not sure what it's about. It's come back to life like a zombie, and it is even worse. Now, is Nancy Pelosi referring to Trump Care or the House of Horrors?
I think the House of Horrors, because it was a pretty atrocious match.
Pretty bad match.
Yeah.
Slash filmed vignette.
Yeah, you know, they kept getting the cameramen in the shots. They didn't really take advantage of the house. Like, throw people through the walls. Is a room full of doll parts scary if you're not in the bad hole?
So, it's a haunted house match, essentially. And then there's a limo involved, and they end up back in the arena. The problem is it's...
Then some Indian guys were involved.
There was a pay-per-view that was set in San Jose or San Diego?
San Jose.
So
they had a drive back from Missouri, which the house was. You can buy it for $30,000.
When they're airing this, it's night and outside, but in the arena and where they're filming it, it's day. It's bad.
The West Coast. It was just bad. Nobody knew what this match was. That was the narrative going in.
And that's the narrative of the AHCA.
Nobody knows what this bill is because no one's read it.
Exactly.
It hasn't been scored by the CBO, unlike the last bill that failed miserably, which was scored by the CBO. This one is like the last one, but changed somehow. Let's all vote real quickly.
So I think we're the first and best show to point out the similarities between the Bray Wyatt-Randy Orton feud and the AHCA.
Yeah, it's clearly the analysis that's been missing from the conversation, so I'm glad we're picking up the slack. I want to go big picture. We've talked about what happened today, but this has been a big week for what we do, mm-hmm. for wrestling and politics coming together from both sides of the aisle. Have both touched on Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Future President Dwayne The Rock Johnson is currently on the cover of National Review.
Yeah, so a conservative magazine, political magazine, ran a piece called The Celebrity We Need by David French. And it's basically about how The Rock is one of those good Hollywood celebrities who doesn't get let his liberalism get in the way. He just wants to make people have a good time, celebrate the troops and America. Why can't more celebrities be like The Rock?
Now, the problem with that analysis is he's not a liberal.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know what he is.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a Republican.
What's your evidence?
I don't have it at hand.
Okay. So, Dwayne The Rock Johnson was at the... In 2000, he was at the RNC. He had his hand held by Dennis Hastert.
From the great state of Illinois.
From the great prison of something in Illinois. And, The Rock generally, like most billionaires, he's probably a billionaire, right?
He's close to a billionaire.
Like most close to billionaires, he's probably...
Like most 100 millionaires.
Doesn't want to pay taxes, exactly. So he's kind of conservative. But
he lives in Florida, and he shoots in Florida where he doesn't have to pay much taxes.
Does he work in Florida or just shoot?
Both.
Okay, cool. So
I understand the wrestling joke that making.
That was just for me. It was a fun joke for me. So this thing is basically this piece in National Review... I'm going to read a couple quotes here. Rather than self-seriously viewing his career as secondary to his activism, Johnson clearly aims to entertain. He understands the core truth, that there's nothing wrong, and a lot right, with sheer unmitigated fun.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with the National Review. That's on record. There's a lot of stuff about how he is an unabashed patriot, because he's always saying, like, God bless America, and thank the troops, and he knew about Osama bin Laden getting killed before the American people did.
Okay, so... Whenever Chris and I record these episodes, we have a giant outline, and there's quotes, and we go back and forth. Where did you find out that he actually knew about the Osama bin Laden raid before it happened? Is this just in the piece?
That's in the piece, but check the Twitter timestamps.
How did he know?
He has like a family in the SEALs.
And did he ever come out and say, oh, my family in the SEALs told me?
He didn't reveal his source. He's not a mark.
Oh, that's
pretty great. The best quote, which you had reposted online from someone who read the whole piece, which, full disclosure, I did not. For a generation of wrestling fans, The Rock was an electrifying, entertaining, and heavily muscled version of Andrew Jackson.
The Rock is of two races that were owned by people like Andrew Jackson.
Yeah. Two races that were... Well, I mean, the Samoans didn't get, you know... There's no Trail of Tears, but, you know, close enough. We will get to Andrew Jackson again, which I did not think Andrew Jackson would be such a hot topic in 2017.
Oh God.
So he's not. That's on the right though. That's not the only side that's talking about The Rock this
really
week.
Quick, if you're listening to this show, you might actually not know what National Review is. And Chris did say it's a conservative magazine. That is true. They are the old school conservatives. Right. They do not like Trump. They were the biggest magazine to put out the Never Trump movement pieces in the summer of 2016. So they're kind of swallowing their medicine.
Yeah, I mean, they're the parts of conservatism who don't say the quiet parts out loud, unlike Trump, who says the quiet parts out
sure.
loud.
Sure. In other words, they're not the best at cutting promos, but their work weight is fantastic. I can't say right today. I said wait. Anyways, they are the exact type of voter, in theory, that Dwayne The Rock Johnson would represent.
Yeah.
So I'd
say... Pro-family, pro-America,
exactly.
pro, like, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps.
Exactly, but not anti so much. Just sort of, like... Hidden, not hidden racism, but coded language. A lot of coded language. Is that fair
nascent.
To say?
Yeah, okay. Coded, yeah.
So if the spectrum is 50% right in the middle, 50%, mm-hmm. and Barack Obama is like, what, 55% maybe?
55% what?
Liberal.
Sure.
And then Donald Trump is at this point right now like 25% liberal.
Sure.
Michael Moore would probably be like, what, 90% liberal, 100% liberal?
Like 90.
Guess who else wants to join the Rock Johnson to run for president?
Oh, is it Michael Moore?
Is it Michael Moore? That's it is cool. Michael Moore.
I'm glad you read along in the outline that you just exposing the business here. But yes, we do have an outline. And Michael Moore in Variety this week was saying, quote, one thing that Democrats don't understand is that Trump is a beloved TV star. I've had this question now for almost 20 years. Why don't the Democrats run Tom Hanks? Why doesn't Oprah run? Why don't we run someone that's beloved by the American people? And the interviewer... astutely, thanks interviewer, asked, what about The Rock? People have been saying The Rock, and he's like, run the rock. Who do you want for commander-in-chief? I want the fucking Rock. It would scare anybody that would hurt us. Think about how safe we would be if The Rock was president. Not Vin Diesel, The Rock.
I have no idea why there's a Vin Diesel slam in there for no apparent reason.
I mean, he's been reading the dirt, the Variety and Hollywood Reporter, the sheets. He's been reading the Hollywood dirt sheets. Talking about, I mean, clearly making reference to the Vin Diesel Rock feud that we did not get a blow off at WrestleMania 4.
So I wrote this. I'm blatantly going in the business for myself right now.
Sure.
In June of 2016, before we had this show, I hosted a show at the Kennedy Center, and there's always a program, and you get to put whatever you want in the program, and most people put their credits in, like Brandon Weatherby performed it, blah, 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 blah. I didn't write that. I wrote Brandon Weatherby is working on a book about Donald Trump with Chris Kelly called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling, available at DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com. And I also wrote, the Chicago Cubs will win the 2016 World Series, which they did.
Check.
And John Cena and The Rock will run for presidency in 2024.
Conservative, actually, it turns out.
Yeah.
If 2020 happens.
I think 2024 is the issue here.
You know, it's still early in the cycle. But the fact that both sides, you know, the 80-something percent conservative, the 88-plus percent liberal side are both saying, there's something about The Rock, this... close to a billionaire star, beloved by the American people, beloved by people around the world. There's something about him that we need at this moment.
We are going to do a whole separate show about The Rock one day. We need to. He just turned 45. He's starting to get some gray in his beard. On the cover of the National Review, you could see some of that.
Yeah.
He is looking more like an elder statesman in a great way. We'll get into this.
Yes. So, like we said, Andrew Jackson, in the news this week, a president... who's been dead for almost 200 years.
Yeah.
Donald Trump was doing an interview, I believe, with Reuters. And he said that it came up and he was talking about how Andrew Jackson was a, quote, swashbuckler, which is a word you don't hear a lot these days. He's a tough person. He was a tough person with a big heart.
You know, provable.
And he said he was really angry that he saw what was happening with regard to the Civil War. He said, there's no reason for this. People don't realize, you know, you think about it, why? People don't ask that question. But why was there a civil war? Why could that one not have been worked out?
So in a weird way, we backtracked and somehow ended up in our It's Still Real to Me segment where Donald Trump doesn't understand the timeline of the Civil War.
Alternative fact.
Still real to me, damn it!
Yeah, so he eventually corrected himself on Twitter, as the president does, and that's the thing that happens now. He understands that Jackson was dead. He was saying hypothetically and like the things that led up to the Civil War. He understands when the guy died, guys. It's not like Frederick Douglass, who thinks he's still alive. He knows Andrew Jackson's dead because he's on Money, which he likes. Here comes the money. Okay. Andrew Jackson's on it. He knows Andrew Jackson's dead. But why was there a civil war? It's a question you have to answer to become a citizen of this great country. This okay. It's a pretty good country. Let's not go crazy. It's a question that has been probably the biggest question of American history from a scholarly point of view of why was there a civil war. So the idea that the president goes, why is no one asking this question? It was a fun, a little thing like an appetizer earlier this week before this whole, like, the healthcare system collapses thing.
So I think I'm from the north. You're from the south.
I'm not from the south. I'm from New Jersey and then Florida. It's the north.
You're the south.
It's the north.
You're the south. So as someone from the south, how were you taught about the Civil War? What was the reason for the Civil War?
Slavery, because that's the reason for the Civil War.
Now, I'm from the north, so clearly it's slavery, and they said everyone in the south wants a slave. You know who knows about slavery?
Who?
Ivanka.
Yeah, Ivanka Trump, who in her new book, I don't know, just fucking really Google it. I'm not even looking up the title of her book.
Really quick, I've read every single Chris Jericho book.
Yeah.
I've read Hulk Hogan's autobiography, but it's not by Terry, it's by Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And I've read Hulk Hogan's wife's biography. Autobiography.
What a mark.
While we were working on this book, I will still not read this Ivanka Trump book. She's not supposed to be promoting this.
Right, because she's an officer of the White House.
Yes.
She's a special advisor, taking no money.
But she's promoting this.
She's promoting a book she wrote.
Which, to be fair, kudos to Ivanka Trump. Who is more going into business for themselves?
Yeah, than Ivanka Trump. Who's having meetings?
Like Vince, like Stephanie, like Donald, like Ivanka. You have to just...
It's just the family
on.
Business. You
it's
really gotta,
so good.
Yeah, and I just... When you write a book, and as a white woman of privilege, and you can use a quote from Toni Morrison's Beloved, the quote being, freeing yourself was one thing, claiming ownership of that freed self was another, which is a statement made in the book by an ex-slave. And then to turn it into a chapter on working smarter, are you a slave to your time or the master of it? And then talk about, like, you know how emails are, like, the worst. Just the lack of self-awareness. Where are the people around? I mean, it doesn't surprise. It kind of does. You know how Vince says things and we're like, oh, that's just Vince being Vince. But, like, Stephanie McMahon is much more like, I took a CEO class.
I can't remember the last time Stephanie McMahon had a public fuck-up.
No, yeah. The only
Since
thing that's
9/11.
Close... Yeah, the only thing close to a public fuck-up is the day that they gave the kid who died of cancer the Warrior Award, and she retweeted the thing about how philanthropy is how brands will succeed. Same day. That was the only thing, and you had to be really, like, in the weeds. This is Ivanka writing a book and taking a quote about slavery and making about, like Sex and the City stuff, and that's bananas. But it happened, and she has a book, and you can Google it and figure it out if you want to read it or not. But that, like you said, this is similar to when Stephanie McMahon compared her father's steroid trial to 9/11. We've talked about that.
And here's that
ad
clip.
Nauseam.
We have to play the clip.
Oh, yeah.
By law.
A few years ago, some people tried to destroy my family. They attacked my father's reputation. They attacked my mother's reputation. And they attacked the World Wrestling Federation. They tried to rip us apart, but all they did was make my family stronger. And that's exactly how America feels right now. Because on Tuesday, America was attacked. But America is a united nation. And together, we stand strong. I am incredibly proud to be an American citizen. And I will stand up for my rights and my freedom.
And that was Stephanie McMahon.
Legally, we had to do that and enjoy
the SmackDown after September 11, 2001.
The first show to show after.
Do you know who was standing behind her father?
Who?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Wow, man. Full circle. That's not even the outline. That's just how good we are at this. Not on SmackDown at that point, I don't think. One of our favorite wrestlers, Chris Jericho, I think it's time to break the walls down.
We are going to build a great border wall, you know, to stop illegal immigration. Yeah.
Yeah, so on Sunday night, the House reached a, or the Senate reached Congress reached a budget
Congress
deal.
Reached a budget deal, and the way it works is similar to how a bill becomes a law, and how the House has to vote on it first, and the Senate votes on it second, and the President signs it. So this was released late Sunday night during the pay-per-view.
Payback.
because my wife, we've gone over this, is a congressional reporter, and she got this bill about a half an hour before the main event.
What match was happening? Do you remember?
I was watching it live with one earphone in, and I was barely paying attention. And
that's about right for a Raw pay-per-view.
That's why I loved it. I thought it was great, seriously.
The first half was amazing.
I didn't listen to the... Yeah, I only tuned in because I knew that Jericho Owens was opening the show. So that was great. Complete swerve. I felt like a stupid mark because I knew about touring schedules. We'll get to that later. And it was, I think it was the build up to Braun Roman, which was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And great. And the after show. But yeah, so on Sunday night, Congress reaches a $1 trillion deal that will keep the government in business. They got the money in the bank through September. The general analysis is that Trump kind of lost on his priorities, and Democrats were able to kind of like use the fact that there's a fractured Republican Party on a lot of these issues. They were able to get their priorities covered in a lot of things that were saber-rattled about.
This is another great example of 50-50 booking. If you followed the fake media, the fake news, from Sunday through Wednesday, Democrats did everything right. If you follow the news Wednesday through tonight, right now it is 7:53 on Thursday, May 4th. If you follow that narrative, the Republicans did everything right. It's 50-50 booking down the middle.
And no one's getting over. But in this budget deal, there was, you know, like a loss for Trump would be there was no money specifically for this wall. Build the wall, which is his big priority since he started running. But then later in the week, Mike Mulvaney, I believe, budget chief.
Budget Director Mulvaney said, we're going to use the money that was allocated within the budget, not for a brand new wall, but we're going to essentially replace and repair fences.
With a quote, see-through steel wall.
Which is a fence. The fence of Jericho.
Fence of Jericho.
Climb it up, man.
Not in the outline. Brilliant. So there won't be a Wall of Jericho, but there will be a steel cage match between us and Mexicans, I guess.
So
I regret that immediately.
No, that's what it is, because this is not on the Canadian border. This is between the United States and Mexico.
Yeah.
How is Jericho going to get to his AAA dates? This is not cool.
How is he going to be... What was he when he was in Mexico? I'll look it up. We'll fact check it.
How is El Generico finally going to start that feud? So this is interesting because it's all about framing. If you looked, like I said before, if you look at Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the Democrats got a huge win. The National Endowment for the Arts was fully funded.
Planned Parenthood didn't get defunded.
It's not what you expected. And if you look at Wednesday and Thursday, what you thought was going to happen with the AHCA not happening is now happening. It's a wash, guys. It's 50-50 booking. No matter what, Cena's going over. It's a matter of time before Cena comes back.
Yeah, and 50-50 booking... We had an example on Sunday with the people we're talking about in this. So at Payback, what we were talking about. So Kevin Owens is the new face of America. He's Canadian. He has the United States Championship. He's the bad guy. He's in a feud with Chris Jericho, who's also Canadian, even though he's born in New York. He is the good guy in this. The stipulation of the match was the winner then goes to SmackDown. Kevin Owens is already on SmackDown. We assumed it'd be one person of the two would be on SmackDown. And because Chris Jericho in real life is also the lead singer of the band Fozzy, and he's touring starting Friday, May 5th, we assumed Owens has to win the belt. He has to continue being on SmackDown. Jericho rides off from the sunset. Yet, they did swerve us, like a couple of marks that we are, and Chris Jericho won on Sunday with a match that played off of their WrestleMania match. It was a great callback, which was itself a callback to the Festival of Friendship. So just continuing the story, if you play these things in a row, they're all building and responding to each other. Great storytelling.
Really quick, 2014 storyline of the year, Rusev in a tank. 2015, New Day. 2016, Broken Matt Hardy. 2017, the Jericho Owens. Is that fair?
For this half year, yeah.
It's so good.
I mean, it's May. We're already, you know, I mean, we got a lot. They could be really good the rest of this
year.
But for, yeah, the last 6 months, it's been Jericho.
It was just
Jericho's
brilliant storytelling from, this goes back to some other stuff, too. It's all Canadians, man. The Canadians in the WWE make the world a better place.
Yeah, they've got that work rate, brother.
It's not just the wrestlers. It's also the announcers. Like, Renee Young makes everything better.
Yeah.
Watch Total Divas, everybody. Wake up, sheeple.
Yeah. So, on Sunday, Chris Jericho improbably wins this belt. He sells the IRAC. He signs a kid's list in the front row. He's a great performer,
it's
right?
Amazing.
Shows up on Monday, says goodbye, does a great segment where it's revealed he thinks that the backstage announcers are clones. He's an amazing performer. On Tuesday, the new face of America, Kevin Owens, brutalizes his ex-best friend, Pillmanizes his neck. That would be putting a steel chair over his neck and saying goodbye and throwing him to the ring post.
Which looked legit scary.
Oh, yeah. But when he said, like, bye-bye.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and he, and they also, apparently, this came up somewhere online, Owens DDT'd Jericho on the ramp.
Yeah.
That's a callback to Jake the Snake Roberts taking Steamboat out in, like, the 80s. These guys are pros. Owens' big shirt for the last year has been Raw... The Kevin Owens Show.
Yes.
Using the old Raw's War logo. In the 90s, one of the big shirts was Monday Night Jericho instead of Monday Nitro. So, I mean, these guys know their history. Wake up, sheeple. So, he loses on Tuesday. He's going on tour on Friday. Span Fozzy. They have the theme song for the NXT thing in your hometown of Chicago at the Rosemont Arena, which is not really Chicago.
Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois. It's such a bullshit thing.
It's NXT Chicago,
whatever.
Man.
No, we got to talk about the geography of Chicago. Here's the issue. Go ahead.
So here's a map on a podcast. Fozzy's also playing in Winchester, Virginia on May 20th.
This podcast is 50-50 going to that
50-50
show.
Booking of that show. Because it's what is it called?
We don't want to get into that now.
We'll get there in 2 weeks after we go to the show, which is definitely happening. We talked about the National Day of Prayer. That was today. Vince McMahon beat God. We were talking about pay-per-views. I just want to... There's no content to this or context, but I had to bring it up because we were talking about how the shutdown, Trump was talking about shutdown. I thought WWE shutdown would be a great name for a pay-per-view.
Perfect.
Fastlane.
It's right.
Backlash. Payback. It's one of these compound nouns that really has like an action in it.
Every match is a cage match. Shutdown.
Shutdown.
Come on.
Right. You know what's not a compound noun? Great Balls of Fire, which is the name of the pay-per-view in July.
So they have to have already cleared the music, right? They wouldn't name it this unless they already had the music.
Yeah, Great Balls of Fire by
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Static X or some other new metal band. Like
Wayne Static died a few years ago.
I know, that's why I picked
them. He went on a Wisconsin Death Trip, which is the name of a Static X album.
Wow, we should just end the show, not just the episode, but the whole show with that one.
I like their first record, legitimately.
I don't remember how it goes, but it was like a lot of power chords and drop D
on
some strings.
It was easy
strings.
To play,
yeah.
And he had big hair. He was the Bart Simpson.
Yeah, don't have a cow, man. Yeah, so he's in a drowning pool.
Speaking of the Simpsons and Great Balls of Fire, our best friend Billy Corgan...
Smashing Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, Homer Simpson smiling politely. Yeah, as we talked about at the top of the show, he bought NWA, not the rap group, the National Wrestling Alliance.
Okay, so here's a question that I didn't think of before. Billy Corgan is IRL friends with Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Do you think he thought he bought the rap group NWA?
No.
Okay.
I think Billy Corgan's a huge mark, as we covered previously in the show. Billy Corgan tried to buy Total Nonstop Action, Impact Wrestling. He did not do that.
But he also didn't lose money. See previous
just,
episodes.
Just wasted time, but yes.
It's not a waste of time. If you don't lose money and you have fun, it's not a waste of time.
You have fun? It was TNA. Have you watched TNA other than Broken Stuff?
No.
Not fun. It's
okay.
Not fun. So,
right, I apologize.
So Billy Corgan, friend of Alex Jones, bought NWA. NWA, so we talk about sometimes the territories. So back in the day, say 40s to 1980, wrestling was a loose association of territories. They kind of shared talent. It was a cartel. It was the NWA. And the NWA, what kind of took that lineage was WCW in the 80s and 90s. And then since then, at some point it was with TNA, but it's basically been defunct. It's kind of a name that gets licensed. So if you start an indie promotion in your backwoods, you can license the NWA and make your thing called NWA Juggalo Fight, or whatever you want to call
okay.
your promotion.
How do you know how often the name was used or purchased?
There's like 20 something like promotions right now that are using NWA. Basically.
Now, do they get to the? So Corgan bought this term.
He bought the term. I mean, the current NWA champion is like 51 with like the worst steroid gut I've ever seen. In my
does
life.
He have the? Does he own the belt now?
I think okay. That's what he got. He got like. He didn't get any, like, libraries of content. He got, like, the name NWA, the rights to use
now,
it.
Do you
belt.
Know if he has any... I have not seen any words about plans.
There has not been anything. There's been the guy who is currently running NWA saying, this is great, Billy Corgan's a big fan, I'm looking forward, blah, 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 boilerplate. There hasn't been anything concrete.
Has there been... I did not see the price tag on this. Has that
no,
been
that
leaked
hasn't
yet?
Come out either.
Okay. Do you have any... I have one theory about why this is...
Go ahead. I don't have any theories.
You have no
this.
Theories. You have no yeah. idea why he did this.
I mean, I know
other
why
he's
he did
a
it.
Fan.
He's a money mark, as we've gone over. He's going to waste his money on wrestling. This means buying the NWA name now and basically, like, if you're NWA Juggalo fight, just drop NWA for your name and he doesn't own you anymore. That's it. So he doesn't actually own anything. There's no TV time, which is the big thing. There's no, he doesn't have any wrestlers. He doesn't have a promotion.
And
he doesn't
that's
have any like logistical. He doesn't have any infrastructure.
Is it New Japan going to be on American television quite soon?
Not TV, but okay. they'll be live.
They have a network, though.
They do have an online
network.
They have
network.
An online
network.
In the States, yeah.
Impact just didn't they just renew their TV?
Are they still? They'll still be on Pop.
And then does Ring of Honor have a TV deal?
They're on because they're owned by Sinclair Broadcasting.
So they all have TV deals.
Yes.
And without a TV deal, wrestling is pretty much just if you and I threw together a show, it's pretty much on par.
Yes.
Okay. So why would this man do this? Who else cares about the history of professional wrestling?
Would that person be from Chicago?
They might.
Okay.
Who else inducted Billy Corgan into the Alternative Press Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio not too long ago?
That happened?
That happened.
Who had their last wrestling match in Cleveland, Ohio?
Who had their last UFC fight in Cleveland, Ohio?
Where was one of the conventions this year?
Cleveland, Ohio, in the Quicken Loans Arena. Part of me is convinced. Not convinced. That's a lie. Part of me is thinking that Billy Corgan, money's not an issue. This couldn't have been more than $50K, is my guess.
Okay.
This is like one live show.
Okay.
This is not a lot of money, but it's got a lot of cachet for hardcore fans. The longer CM Punk stays away from the WWE, the more news little things you'll hear about CM Punk wanting to wrestle, but never under Vince.
No.
What's the easiest way to wrestle never under Vince? You start your own company with the most prestigious name in all of wrestling history with a guy that you consider a friend.
It was also a very prestigious name in wrestling.
It would not surprise me if Billy Corgan simply bought the NWA title to create his own wrestling promotion built around CM Punk.
So you're trying to say that maybe one day CM Punk will just be a rat in a cage?
How am I doing? Am I doing okay? I'm president. Hey, I'm president. Can you believe it, right?